My name is Dale Morey, from right here in Black Creek, well, Belfast, Black Creek area. My church is in Black Creek. That was about 8 years ago. I was sitting on my front porch and a gentleman came up to me and he said, you know, I'd like to be your pastor. And at that point in time, I didn't want anything to do with somebody trying to offer me to be a pastor. I come from a long line of, you know, being an alcoholic, a drug addict for many years. I got a 17-page rap sheet that it goes through three different states, many jails and prisons and rehabs and mental hospitals. And I mean, you name it, and I've been through it. And I've been saved just a little over 3.5 years. October will be 4 years, actually, that I got saved. And I just remember a man by the name of John Asquith walking up and just offering to be my pastor. And I wanted nothing of it. Brother Cobb, they were the ones that used to come in and preach at the prison that I was in Gowanda. And really, they planted a seed. Old Time Baptist Church really planted a seed in my heart. And I thank God that Pastor John came up and my wife said, you know, after 3 months, I'll be making fun of her, calling her a holy roller and a Bible thumper and, you know, all this and that. She finally invited me one day and I went and she goes, he preaches a King James Bible like I've never heard it. And because of Old Time Baptist, I said, well, I'm going to go hear this guy. And sure enough, I got there and 8 years later, here I, you know, 3.5 years, I sat underneath the preaching, fighting, claiming that I was saved and I'm out there drinking again and everything else. And I'm just thankful tonight that Jesus Christ reached down to that pit.
Amen.
And he pulled me from it. Just earlier today, you were talking about your dad, how he had dementia. Sometimes he would forget you. My son, Luke, who used to be, he used to be afraid of me. He grabbed me tonight and said, Dad, please don't ever forget me.
Aww.
He said, please don't ever forget me. I didn't have a dad to do that. I didn't have a dad to show me things. I didn't have a dad to teach me things. But I thank God I have a father who took the time to write this down to teach me how to be a dad.
Amen.
To teach me how to be a husband.
Yes, sir.
And I just thank him. I just praise his name. I thank you so much for what he's done. And tonight I want to glorify his name. Today in society, everybody's turning everywhere, and forgetting about the one who can change that life.
Amen.
And so we're going to, if you would, please turn with me to Mark 5. I forgot my glasses at home, and I'm hoping that I can see through this. Lord be with me. That's just, he'll have to just get me through it. I do carry some notes with me. I printed them big today. For whatever reason, I printed them big. I did not know I was going to leave my glasses at home. But I thank God for a computer that prints them big anyway. So Mark 5, we're going to go to verse 25 through 28. Mark 5, verses 25 through 28. And it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. She had issues. She brought her issues to the physicians. And verse 26 says that she suffered many things by these physicians. She went through many things, and I'm sure hard things with these physicians. I'm sure they had her drinking something or taking something or doing painful things to her body and told her that it would help rid of her issue. But as you can see, it did not. And that's a picture of what's going on in America today, is that all these people are going around and they're turning to everything else except for Jesus Christ.
That's right.
They're reaching out for everything except for what Jesus Christ has to offer.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, I stand here today and I was told, it's a funny thing how God works. For those of you who don't know, I live just not too far from down the street here, but one of the correctional officers that took care of me in prison now is my next door neighbor, and I get to witness to him, and he sees what Jesus Christ has done to me.
Amen.
Wow.
Number two, the very psychiatrist that I sat on the couch and he told me, Mr. Morey, there's nothing else we can do for you. I just got to witness to him 3 weeks ago.
Amen.
And he said, oh my goodness. He goes, your story is amazing. He's the one that told me, there's nothing else I could do for you. And that's when Jesus Christ stepped in.
Well,
and he was able to do something for me.
Amen.
You see, when man has no more ideas, when man has no clue what to do with you, Jesus Christ knows exactly what to do.
Amen.
Right.
I thank God that he stepped in and took care of that thing for me. It's a picture of what's going on. Is everybody's out there and they're suffering depression and alcohol and drugs and doing painful things to their bodies to get rid of their issues or sear their conscience or numb themselves from hurt. The things that I see today, I mean, I'm covered in tattoos. I try to keep them as covered as I can. I don't like them. I despise them. I don't have no care for them whatsoever. But the Lord left them there when I got saved, so they're just going to stay there. And I believe he's going to use them as a witness and a testimony of where he brought me from. He brought me from the gutters, and now I'm his son. I'm his son. I'm my knuckles here. Maybe not many can see it. It used to say H-A-T-T-E on my knuckles. Because that's what I was full of. I was full of bitterness and hate. After I got saved, I didn't want that word hate on me anymore. I said, Father, forgive me. Now I got H-O-P-E tattooed on my knuckles. I'm not full of hate anymore. I'm full of hope.
Amen.
I have you know who my Father is? He's the God of all hope. Romans 15:13 says he's the God of all hope. That's what I have. So that hatred was taken from me. That bitterness was taken from me. And he filled me with a new hope and a new joy that I never had. 8 years ago, I was taking 19 psychotropic pills a day.
Wow.
I take zero.
Amen.
Zero today.
Praise the Lord.
Just telling you what Jesus Christ done for me.
Amen.
I walked around with alcohol in my back pocket 7 days a week. Beer on one side, Jack Daniels on the other side, and a pocket full of dope or whatever else. I carried none of that with me. I didn't go to a rehab to get clean. I went to Jesus.
Man. I see it.
He'll do it.
He did it.
Good.
He did it. Ever since that, since I got out in 2002, it's the last time I was in prison, which was odd for me to take such a long time. I was always in or out. But let me just tell you this, since I got saved, I haven't been back.
Amen.
I now walk around shaking the officer's hands. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your service. My kids walk around thanking them for their service.
Amen.
That's what Jesus Christ done. Those who were my enemies are now my friends.
Amen.
My friends. And I thank God for that. If you would, please turn with me to 2 Chronicles 16. 2 Chronicles 16. I just want to show a few things here. God is good. I mean, he's just so good. And you can't thank him enough. And you know, I'm guilty of not thanking him enough. In the last few days, just the services he's given us and the preaching that he's given us has really just waking me up to some things that I'm lacking in my own life. You know, I'm 44 years old in my body, but as a Christian, I'm only 3.5 years old. You see, it's all new to me. 40 years I lived for hell. 40 years I went out there and destroyed myself. 40 years I lived that way. And for 3.5, almost 4 years, I had Jesus Christ has come into my heart and he's teaching me things. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, what? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's taking those old things from me and he's taking the things he wants and putting them in that place.
Amen.
You know what happened when I got saved? I didn't stay the same person.
That's right.
I don't listen to the same music. I don't talk the same. I don't walk the same. I don't dress the same. I do nothing the same. Why? Because I have a different heart with different desires.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Different. That's salvation.
Right.
That's salvation.
Hey.
That's repentance. Turning from me and going to God. Turning to him and what he wants.
Hey.
I thank God. You know, I'm not bragging on myself. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for what you're doing. My mother was here today. My mother never, ever in a million years would have ever brought us to a church service. Ever. I've never stepped in foot in church in a day in my life. But you know, my mother seen what happened to me.
Amen.
She seen what happened to me. She said, I just can't believe what happened. I said, Mom, that's what Jesus Christ did to me.
Amen.
That's what Jesus Christ done to me, Mom. She was, I see it. I said, yes, ma'am. That's what you see.
Good.
Listen, I know there's people in this room who are turning to everything but Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You're trying everything with all your power and with all your might, and you're turning and turning and turning, and you know what you're getting? The same outcome.
Right.
I did it for years. I did it for years. I'm going to try this, and I would end up doing the same thing over and over and over again. That's the definition of insanity, is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome. I'm not going to tell you this right now. There's not going to be a different outcome until you get Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a fact.
Amen.
You get Jesus Christ, there'll be a different outcome. You know why? You have a holy God living inside of you. How can you tell me that things aren't going to change when you have Jesus Christ living in you? I can't grasp that. I can't get a hold of that thing. You are going to change. And you know what? It's a lovely change. It's a beautiful change. It's a wonderful change. My son doesn't flinch when I walk by him anymore.
Amen.
My wife's not worried about the name calling. She's not worried about me verbally and physically attacking her. She would pray. For those of you who don't know, I know most of you guys have heard my testimony, but my wife used to pray that I would die. She loved me so much, she just did not want to divorce me, but she would pray, Lord, would you please take him out? He did one better. Saved me and gave her a husband.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what he did. Saved me and gave her a husband. That's right. The old Dale Moore is dead. I'm a new creature. Isn't that what it says? This Dale Moore never walked the face of the earth before. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's what it says. I thank God. I thank God for what he's done. Because I'm just telling you, people can't fathom. Most don't understand. If I could pull down a screen and say, here was my life, you would look and go, oh my goodness. I asked my wife still, I said, babe, can you believe? Can you believe this? Can you believe what he's done?
Mm. Amen. It's good.
Amen. And doctors couldn't do it.
Amen.
I'm not talking about, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. 2 Chronicles 16:12 says, and we 16:12, let me turn there myself, I'm getting all off track. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceedingly great. What's it say? Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. He went to the physicians. Just left the Lord right out of it. I'm just telling you today, that is what you see. Mental hospitals, jails, prisons, rehabs are making a killing. They're making a fortune off of your pain. You know what their mouths are trying to shut? They're trying to shut the ones who are giving them the truth.
Yeah.
They're trying to shut our mouth. They're trying to shut our God out. The only hope that we have is him.
Right.
They're trying to shut it all off. Why? Because it affects their money.
That's right.
Just telling you. I know. I was a prodigal of that. I was a prodigal of that.
Mm.
But I've been delivered. And I thank the Lord for it. King Asa did the same thing. He ended up dead. You read the next verse, he ended up dead. Many people turn everywhere else for help and what's going on in their life, and it always ends up the same. Things never change or it's death. There are serious medical issues that need to be dealt with. Please do not take me wrong. I'm not saying that. Brother here, I couldn't imagine telling you, hey, don't worry about your heart problems. No, the Lord gave us physicians for a reason. But I'm just using this as a picture of what people are doing. He's got Jesus Christ. He went to the divine physician. But there's nobody else going to that thing. They're trying everything else first. That's my point. I tried everything from alcohol to drugs to perversion things. And I'm just going to tell you now, it was a big black hole that I could never fill. Anytime I'd put something in it, it'd blow out the backside. I just wasn't happy. I just kept trying to feed it. Kept trying to feed it. Kept trying to feed it. October 10th, 2011, 90 and a half East Main Street. I got gloriously saved.
Amen.
I haven't been the same since.
Amen.
I haven't looked backwards since.
Amen.
It's
good.
I thank God that he opened my eyes.
Amen.
Where everything else fails, Jesus is there, but no one goes to him. People believe if a doctor can't do it, surely Jesus himself cannot do it. You understand what we're saying in society today is people don't believe that Jesus really can heal somebody, that they can really help them. They're looking for a magic potion, a little pill, or a little magic to change everything right here. But God is trying to get to the, let's say he's trying to get to the core of the problem. He's trying to show you the core of the problem. And people don't want to see what they are. It was a miserable time in my life seeing what I really was. But God had to take my heart out and show me.
Amen.
Until I seen that. Oh, but I tell you, the day I seen it, I got saved. I realized, my goodness, is this what I looked like before a holy God? Oh, man. A worm and no man.
Yes.
For sure. For sure. Oh, thank God. Thank God that he strove with me. To take the time to show Dale Moore. A holy God took the time to show me what I needed to see. And I thank God that he took that time. Oh, it's just never been the same for me. They do not believe or trust Jesus. John 9, 10 through 15, it says, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and I washed and received sight. Verse 12 says, then he said unto them, where is he? And he said, I know not. They brought the Pharisees to him aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. They do not see Jesus as God. They only see him as a Christmas story, they only see him as a prophet, and they only see him as a man. Therefore they do not believe in his miracle healing. And I'm just talking about, I'm not even talking about a physical healing. I'm talking about a spiritual healing. Listen, there's a spiritual hunger out there that needs to be filled, and only Jesus Christ can do it, and nobody wants to see it. They're okay. Let me tell you how okay they are. They have to pop a pill to numb their brain. They have to pop a pill to see their conscience. They have to drink something or poke themselves with something or stick something somewhere to get rid of everything that God wants in the face. That's how happy they are. America's so happy that we're making the pharmaceuticals very rich. Yeah. That's how happy America is.
Man.
We got the victory.
Yeah, rough.
I'm just telling you. I thank God. 6 months after me, my wife Amy got saved. 6 months. You know, she hasn't been the same. It's just a miracle.
Amen.
Amen.
It's a miracle. I still have my health issues and so on. But let me just tell you this. The very first night I got saved, and I heard you kind of say it earlier. The very first night I got saved, you know what? The very first thing I noticed? That I went to bed with a clean conscience.
Amen. Yeah.
I could sleep. I didn't need a sleeping pill to go to sleep.
Well, that's good.
You know what the second thing was? For the first time in my life, brother, my anger was so bad that they would have me on these pills because my brain waves went into convulsions. And so they had me on all this medicine to keep me calm. And for the first time in my life, the night I got saved, I realized that I was getting angry and I could control myself.
Hey.
Have I been on any pills since for my anger? Not one. That's something? I'm talking violent. Listen, I was so scared of myself. I was so afraid that I was going to hurt my family. That's a fear. If you've never felt that fear, that's a fear second to none when you're afraid of your own self. I'm not afraid of me anymore. I know he's got control. As long as I'm doing and keeping him where he needs to be, keeping him number one in my life, keeping him where he needs to be, I'm not the only one that gets the benefits, but they do. My family gets the benefits. When Jesus Christ is where he's supposed to be in your life, your family will reap the benefits. Your family. Hey, nobody taught me how to be a dad. Matter of fact, both of my fathers and my father and my stepfather, they're both dead. I buried my father last year in October, and my stepfather the year before that, or 2 years before that. They were never in my life. They didn't teach me how to be a dad. I had a mother that raised me. You want to talk? Who taught me how to be a dad? My father in heaven taught me how to be a dad. That's who taught me. Watching, you know who else? Watching my brothers, how they treat their wife and their children. I learned that. I watched that. And I said, that's it. I said, right now, in this Maury family, we're breaking that cycle. Amen. That cycle's going to be broke. We're going to walk for Jesus Christ.
Good.
It's over with here for
us.
Yes,
sir. Hey.
I don't care what else the world does. I don't care what else they want to do to themselves or whatever else. I'm just telling you now, that cycle is broken, the Maury family. And I'll make sure of it. We don't need that garbage. I always say, you know, why don't we used to say all the time, why do other Christians get to get away with certain things? You know, my Father in Heaven told me, there's certain things I have to do for you, Dale, to protect you and your family.
Right. That's right. Amen.
There's certain things that I can't do that maybe other Christians can get away with, but He's looking out for me and my family.
Amen.
That's my Heavenly Father. He loves me like that.
Amen,
bro. That's His love.
Hey.
His love. Mark 5:26. I want to read Mark 5:26. You can turn there if you'd like. I want to read Mark. This is the same, not the lady with the issue. Mark 5:26. It says, and had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather worse. She spent all that she had, and was no better, but worse. Oh, what a truth of the people of today in America. When the conscience is seared and the mind and the body are numb, people get worse. America has gotten worse. And the doctors and the rehabs and so on have gotten richer. You mean to tell me that we have victory here in America when the sodomites are taking over, the drug addicts are taking over? Hey man, we don't have the victory. I think, and I'm gonna say that, I'm putting myself out there. I've only been in this thing 3.5, almost 4 years, but I can see why everybody else is getting the victory, because I think we've become real complacent in Christianity.
Right. Yes, sir.
We ain't praying enough. We ain't fasting enough. What are we really out there doing?
Good.
I'm just saying. If we were really out there and we're really on that front line, then let me ask you this. Why don't we have the victory in America? They're going to send missionaries over to us soon.
Here we are. That's right.
I'm just saying. Hey, you know, a lot of it comes from man worship. We're worshiping man.
Right.
Well, that's what we're doing. We're worshiping what a man says. Hey, I like to know what God said, because you know
Amen.
What? Man did nothing for me. Man, I mean, for 40 years, I got a trail of slime. And you know what? Man could never do anything. You know what man always did? The same thing that psychiatrists did and everybody else did. They said, there ain't no hope for you. That's what man did to me. Jesus Christ never did that to me. He's the one who healed me. He's the one who picked me up. He's the one who said, I got something. Now I can work in your life. I can do something now. I'm not special. I don't have an S on my chest. I can't walk on water and bolts bounce off of me. But I know one thing. I know my Father loves me and I love Him. And I'm very thankful for what He's done. You know, I don't need the physicians to tell me what's wrong with me. My Father saved me and knew that for 40 years I lived a certain way. You know how good He was to me? It may be for the rest of you, but I'm going to say for me. You know how good He was for me? I had no clue how to live a Christian life. He gave me the instructions right here.
Amen.
Amen.
Why would I set this thing down and not want to learn what's in it? How
That's
else
right.
am I going to learn anything if I don't have this thing in my heart? How's it say that? Stay away from sin. To hide His word in your heart. My instruction manual. Kids don't come with that, but our Father in Heaven knew that when you become a Christian, you may not know how to walk that way, so He'll just give you the instructions and teach you how to walk that way. I thank God that He gave me the instructions. He's the one teaching me this thing.
Yes.
Jeremiah 8. I'm going to close up here soon. Jeremiah 8. Jeremiah 8, 8:22. It says, speaking of Israel, but it's a clear picture of America today. It says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head, were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of a wavering men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they're all adulterers, the assembly of treacherous men.
Yeah.
And they bend their tongues like a bow for lies, but they are not valiant for their for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother, for the brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanders, and they will deceive every image. Excuse me, my page turned twice. Every one his neighbor, and will not speak the truth. They will not speak the truth. They have taught with their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. The habitation is in the midst of deceit, and their deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them, for how shall I do for this daughter of my people? This is 2 Timothy 2:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Right.
And that's what's going on in America today. Even the Christians that are sitting in the church pews are being deceived. They're being tricked. How many of us have watched time and time again? You guys have been in this thing a whole lot longer than me. And I'm just going to tell you now, when I travel around, the things that I see are sickening to me. Because I see man worship.
Right.
I see listen, and I'm not meaning to step on any toes, but I see the easy believism. I see the pray after me prayer. Let me just tell you this, that almost sent me to hell. That's why I despise it.
Amen, bro.
It almost sent my wife to hell sitting right there. You know what happened? God dealt with Israel for 20 years. He said that he oppressed them mightily for 20 years. Why? To get them to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just tell you this. God not slack. He's not slack concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Don't you think God knows what it's going to take for somebody to repent? Then why are we shoving everything down their throats?
Right, bro.
Why don't we get them underneath the preaching, sit underneath the church pews, and let them hear what God has for them?
Amen. Amen, bro.
That's just what I'm saying. Listen, we don't have any victory in America the way we're doing it. We've become more defensive than we have offensive. We're losing people more to hell than we're winning in heaven. I'm just saying. And I'm a babe in Christ, and I'm seeing this already. I wasn't raised in church, so I don't know much, only what the Lord has shown me, teaching me. But I believe it's time for us to get back there on the offensive. And listen, my 42-year-old cousin just dropped dead last week. I got to go preach her funeral on Saturday. She rejected Jesus Christ over and over and over again. My father, we buried him last October in the flames of hell. They're my family. How much on the offensive was I? What did they really see in me? I think you said it earlier. Who did they see? Were they seeing Dale Moore, or were they seeing Jesus Christ? They weren't seeing Jesus, that's for sure. Now I have my mother come to church. She's not saved. Will she be next? What is she seeing? Is she seeing me? Is she really looking at me, or is she seeing Jesus Christ? I'm just saying, listen, this is the truth. This is what's going on. And it's sad to know that we're losing loved ones. But even more so, listen, Jesus Christ died for all. Don't we have the burden anymore? And I'm not saying everybody doesn't have the burden. But I'm saying, where's that fire? Where is it that we're getting stomped on? Where is it that we're losing victories in America? But I hear everybody always saying how much power and victory Christians have.
Yeah, right.
Good. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. 2 Corinthians 4. verse 4 and 5 says, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Now, what's it say? For we preach not ourselves.
That's right.
Amen. We preach not ourselves. But hey, you guys have been traveling around long enough, you'll see somebody out there, and they're preaching themselves. That's the other gospel. That's the other spirit. That's the other Jesus that Paul warns us about. They're preaching themselves. They're up there they're up there glorifying themselves. In the book of Acts, here's what's Herod. He's in there all decked out, and he's sitting there as a king. And you know what they say? They shout, that's not, he's a god. He's not a man. That's what they're shouting in America. Let's get rid of God. Why? Because God makes our conscience. He makes us see what we really are. But if we can get God out of here, if we can kick him out of the schools, if we can kick him out of the government. But here's the worst part. Christians are kicking him out of their heart.
That's right.
You know why our families are failing? Because Christians are taking God right out of their own heart. It's not in the home anymore.
That's right.
One thing I learned, and I thank God that he taught me this, Brother Cliff, is that I will bring that Bible home, and we will live Christianity at home. We'll live Christianity in the supermarket. We'll live Christianity at work. No matter where we are, we're going to have Jesus with us.
That's good.
You know why? Otherwise, we'll be another statistic.
Yeah.
You didn't save me to leave me the same old person I was. Don't let this outward appearance as nothing. It means nothing. It has nothing to do with my salvation. It's just a reflection of what he's done inside my heart. You know the man, I can't never pronounce the word, the man, the Gadarenes. What's it say? Clothed in his right mind? That's me. I'm clothed in my right mind. Because Jesus came in and took those things out of me.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ stepped in and done that for me. And you know what it done to people? It makes them afraid. Isn't that what it said in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
You read the last word in that passage. It says they were afraid.
That's right.
People are afraid of what Jesus Christ does.
Yes.
That's right. That is right.
Oh, but it's our job to go show them it's okay. We need to get them in the churches. We need to get them underneath the preaching. We need to love them and pray for them. I mean, I work with some pretty smelly people. But you know what they are to me? You ask anybody who was in my church, they're my friends. They're my friends. You know why? Because I had a man who preached Jesus Christ to me, who loved me, John Ashworth. You know what I say? You know what I used to say? I didn't ever glorify him once. You ask my wife, here's my very words. There's something inside that man that I want. He's got something that I want. I'd sit there and you ask him, I'd rail back, and I'm going to punch him right in his face. My wife goes, oh my goodness, he's going to punch the preacher. I'm ready to knock him. And he looks at me in my eyes and he says, Dale, you hitting me is not going to change my love for you. And it would just tear me up. I said, he's got something that I need.
Yes.
What's he got that I need? This, you know what I see? I see Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He was the first person to ever hand me a credit card to go get gas in your vehicle. I'm a thief, man.
Well,
he showed me something that I've never seen, and that was Jesus Christ.
Hey,
man.
And he lived it. And I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal. I'm just trying to tell you what I seen in somebody. Remember, I don't remember who said it, but in the last few days, somebody said, you may be the only God that they see. You know what? I seen that in him. I seen Jesus Christ in John Ashworth. That's what I'm telling you I've seen.
Amen.
And I thank God that the Lord had mercy and sent him my way. I know there's more of you guys in Black Creek, but I really believe he sent Pastor John for me.
Yeah.
I believe that. And I thank God that he done that. But today we're in a losing battle because everybody's turning everywhere else except for the Jesus Christ.
Brother, I'm not that.